Welcome, everybody, to the Stoned On Sports Podcast. My name is Matt. Really happy to be here with you today. We are going to wrap up week 14 of your fantasy football season. This is the last week to see if you're in the playoffs for many teams out there, especially if you're in a 12-team league. If you're in a 10-team league, next week might be your last week, and we'll be here Thursday to help you out with that. Before we jump into all of that, I do want to say thank you to all of our subscribers, everybody that comes in and hangs out with us. We really appreciate it. We just had our 100th subscriber watch party for the Cowboys-Eagles game on Sunday. It was our most liked video ever. It couldn't have happened without all of you. We really, really appreciate it. As always, I'm joined here by Men on a Mission, Kyle and Ramey. Ramey, even though we're not going to dive into the game real deep, that Bills-Chiefs game was something else. You know, Mahomes was in the headlines for acting like a baby, and you know, Kadarius Toney just apparently has no clue what the heck is going on. With the Bills beating the Chiefs, who do you think that says more about, the Bills or the Chiefs?
Well, Matt, I think it really says more about the Bills. I think people forgot that the Bills were the Bills because they've been playing so poorly. But Josh Allen is your quarterback. Anything can happen. And I think he showed that during the game. Granted, they were about a foot and a half away from losing that game, but they went into Kansas City and they won. And everybody has kind of seen that Kansas City is in a bit of a rebuilding year. Not that they can't get hot at the end of the year, but I really think it says more about the Bills that if they continue to win and get into the playoffs, they could be a really dangerous team going on the road, kind of with nothing to lose with house money. So I think it says more about the Bills. What do you guys think?
I'd agree with you.
If
the Bills get in, and that's a big if right now, I think they're still the 11th seed in the AFC just due to a multitude of tiebreakers. But they're a team that can go on the road, and they can go on the road and hang with everybody. You know, I've intimated before, I think the team is better than their record indicates. They, you know, they have some things they need to fix, obviously, but yeah, they got a real shot if they get in.
So the way I look at it, my Colts, there are six teams that are 7-6 right now, and because of tiebreakers, the Colts are the 7 seed. The Dolphins are the 2 seed. If you were the Dolphins, would you rather see the Colts in the first round of the playoffs, or would you rather see the Bills in the first round of the playoffs?
Oh, Colts for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. If the Bills can manage just to get in, I think they're a really dangerous team. And I bet you can make some money off of them by putting a little scratch on them to hit the Super Bowl.
Shit. The way Miami looked yesterday, it doesn't matter who they play in the first. They're going to be one and done.
That's true.
We're going off track here. Kyle, how the hell are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Here to talk some week 14. Looking forward to fantasy playoffs here. I'm in 2 out of 3 leagues. So one of them is the podcast league, which you gentlemen will not be partaking in.
You're welcome. Yeah. I allowed you to get into the playoffs. Give you a confidence boost.
Because you suck. No, I'm doing great. You guys good? Had a lot of fun Sunday night for that watch party. That was good stuff.
Yeah, it was.
A couple good stories. All the good stuff.
Yeah. But speaking of the watch party, the game we were watching. Eagles at the Cowboys. Dallas spanked them. There's something up with the Eagles, and we'll get to that in a minute, but why not start talking about the victors? Namely, Dak Prescott, 24-39, 271, couple touchdowns. He did lose a fumble. He got you just under 18 points this week, and that's only the second time since week 6 that he's been below 24 points. The guy is on pace for a career high in touchdowns, a career low in interceptions. He's playing like an MVP right now, and he's helping to carry this Cowboys team towards the playoffs and possibly the division as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got Sway's channel. Great show on Sunday, players. He laughed a lot. Appreciate it, man. And Dubo and Captain Spock are in here as well. Zach Ballsack Moss likely knocked a lot of people out of the playoffs.
Yeah. It would have been a different story. He had the rock down by the goal line and didn't get in. If he gets in, we're talking completely different. You are absolutely right, though, Captain Spock. I got him on team. My ass isn't in the playoffs anyway. It doesn't matter, but still like to play spoiler, especially since it's a commissioner of the league and, you know, he snuck one in on me, but whatever.
Yeah, it just seemed like much couldn't go well for the Eagles. Dallas did play very well. Their defense is Dan Quinn's got that defense playing so damn well. And it was the plays, those fumbles by their three, you know, top players, Hurts and Devonta Smith and AJ Brown, that just killed them. And they weren't just straight fumbles. They were all strips. Like, they ripped the ball out of there. Bad. And they failed to score an offensive touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The defensive touchdown.
Yep. For Hurts the first time ever with Hurts as their quarterback. He hadn't lost consecutive games since back in October of 21. Just rough outing for them. They got to figure some shit out. And that everything they're doing on that defense isn't working.
Yeah. And Hurts is
the only one in the backfield is like Slay that's worth a shit. The last few weeks, they were actually having him shadow the other wide receivers. It kind of been working, and they didn't do that this game. And what, Brandon Roby got shredded by CeeDee Lamb all day. Ugly.
Yeah. CeeDee had 6 for 71 and a touchdown, but Jalen Hurts is really starting to develop a fumbling problem. I know he's recovered a lot of them until lately, but it seems like he's fumbling a lot over the last 5 or 6 games. And I know he carries the ball a lot, so that's part of it, just part of his game. But they look like they're struggling now. They do kind of come out of the teeth of their schedule and move into an easy kind of finishing stretch. So I'd look for them to kind of get things right before the playoffs. On the flip side, Dallas is now moving into the teeth of their schedule. Dallas goes to Buffalo and then has Miami and the Lions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, even though
it'll be
doubt. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's going to be tough for the Eagles to do much. You know,
yeah.
They've got, this is their 7 of their wins were 1-score games. They're not going to play a team with a winning record the rest of the season. Maybe they can turn stuff around. I mean, they got Seattle. They're probably a little bit better than their 6-7 record, but man, the Eagles, yeah. I'm kind of bummed. Yeah. I like watching them. I like Hurts a lot.
Yeah. That as a result of that game, Dallas is in first in the NFC East, but Philly still controls their destiny. If they win out and Dallas wins out, Philly would win the division based on tiebreakers. But yeah. San Francisco sitting in the driver's seat for the 1 seed moving forward, even though all three teams are tied at 10-3 right now. San Francisco has the head-to-head over both of those teams, Philly and Dallas, and really looks like the Super Bowl favorite at this point that we thought they would be to start the season.
Yeah, Dubo with a good point. How about that leg in Dallas? Dude kicked him into the playoffs. He was booming shit, dude. That was crazy. Congratulations on being into the playoffs. It's nice to go in with a little bit of momentum.
Captain says, oh geez, it just went away. There it is. Hope the Cowboys choke at some point. I hate to see them win the Super Bowl. I think I could guarantee they will choke at some point.
Yeah.
I don't want them. I don't
cap
that'll
Captain.
I will not be a great Super Bowl if the Dallas Cowboys are in it.
Captain, before we got on here, we were talking as we do before, and I said, how Cowboys would it be? Aubrey's 30 for 30 this year. He's hitting 60-yard field goals like it's nothing. I'd like to put money on the Cowboys missing a game-winning 45-yard field goal by Aubrey and have it being his first miss of the year in like the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, perfect.
Against the Lions.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be happy for you guys.
Could happen, I guess. God, I think the Lions might be able to actually beat the Eagles. Maybe not in Philly, but maybe they could beat them.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. For those of you in deep leagues, take a look at Rico Dowdle. He went 12 for 46 with a touchdown. He's had 30% or more of the rush attempts in 3 of 5 games. And over the last 5 weeks, he's scored 3 touchdowns. They're starting to work him in more in tandem with Tony Pollard. And we've kind of been on that, that train for several weeks now. There could be some flex viability there. Again, this is just a deep league play, but there sure as shit is not anything decent on the wire at this point. He's somebody you can stash away. And if something happens to Pollard, you know he's going to be in line for a really good workload.
Yeah. Kind of wonder if the Cowboys are getting ready for life after Pollard next year too with Dowdle. Or no, he signed an extension, didn't he? No, he just signed the franchise tag.
Yeah.
I think it was a franchise tag.
Yeah.
I believe so.
I mean, you got to give Pollard some breaks too. So it's probably a little bit more than that. I like to make a something out of nothing.
And speaking of backup sneaking in on the other side of the rock or other side of the field there, Kenneth Gainwell. He's got Kenneth Gainwell is sneaking in. DeAndre Swift. He is below 50% of the carries in 3 of 4 games. And the way they use them earlier in the season, they were getting him the ball in space. There was a lot of off tackle stuff. And now it just seems like they're running him up the gut constantly. That's not the player he is. That's not how he's going to be successful. And his track record says he's not going to hold up to that beating. And I understand they're dialing back his carries, but he's someone who has not shown any toughness in the past. Dubo's right. Swift has disappeared lately. You know, he's down to the RB17 on the season. He's the RB30 since the bye, 3 straight games under 10 points. And I think you're starting to see that kind of wear down. And once he gets worn down, here come the injuries.
Yep. And you guys have said, because you watched him a heck of a lot more than I have, when he gets injured, he's done. He doesn't play hurt.
No, he does not. No. He ain't going to play through anything.
When he took that hit 2 weeks ago, I thought, oh, he ain't going to play week 14.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course he did. I mean, not super well, but yeah. What was he? 11 carries, 39 yards, 3.5 a carry. Gainwell was 7 a carry on his 4 carries. I don't know. I picked up Gainwell in the league just for some depth, but
so. So this year through 13 games, Swift has already reached the most carries of his career. He's got 178 carries. He had 99 with Detroit last year. His previous high was 151. So rightfully so, starting to dial those back. But I wonder if he's just worn the hell out. He's just not as effective as he was a few weeks ago because he's hitting a wall.
It's possible, and Philly really has no reason to save him for anything. He's a free agent after the season.
Yeah.
Yep.
And especially over the past month, even if something does happen, I think it would be reasonable to expect similar production from Kenneth Gainwell that Swift has given you. I mean, if you're getting any kind of volume in Philly, there's no reason you can't get me 50, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Especially with that line.
Yeah. If I'm Sirianni, or the OC, I'm, given the Gainwell's getting the rushing carries, and I'm using Swift out of the backfield because he's really fucking talented at that. They don't do it, but he can do it. And he did it very well in Detroit when he was healthy.
Even still, though, this game, there were 4 players targeted, the same number of players that had rush attempts for Philly.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Lions at Bears. Ooh. We can talk about it a little bit. I've pretty much forgotten about it. I put it past me. It certainly didn't look too damn good. They played like shit. They cannot. What else did I have here? You know, they're never going to do.
I hope you wrote that down. Yeah. They played like shit.
They can't rush the passer with 4. They suck at blitzes anyway. Over the past 7 games, Aaron Glenn's has been the league's 5th highest rate blitz rate over the past 7 games. That's not working either. Ugh, it sucks. Chicago got a great great job, did a great job getting to Goff. He's horrible under pressure. He was a lot better earlier in the season, but he is in a funk. And I'm hoping no outdoor games the rest of the season. Hopefully has him playing a little better. I think he's what, QB 16 over the last five weeks. Wasn't that long ago. He was top rated PFF quarterback, on a short list for MVP candidates a couple months ago. And he's just fallen to shit. Not loving it. Amon-Ra St. Brown had another non-ARSB game. I guess when Goff's getting killed all the time, but that slot cornerback they got there, it's Kyler Gordon. Held ARSB in check all fucking game. What did he have? 9 targets and what, 3 receptions? Something like that?
3 for 21.
Mm-hmm. Just sick. 9 targets.
And what's funny is that was the first time since week 4 when he was out there for 100% of the snaps.
But fuck, he had to be.
he's cold. 5 weeks ago, he scored 30.5 points in a PPR. Last week, he scored 5.1. And it's been a decline every single week. That offense has got to figure out a way to unfuck themselves. Jared Goff looks skittish. He looks afraid. He's worried about a pass rush that isn't even to him yet. And it's like he's he's confused.
He's like, he's hearing the footsteps. Do you know, guess what his QBR is under pressure since the bye?
0.6.
That's out of 100.
No shit.
It's the worst mark in the league by fucking far.
So why would you blitz him all the time?
Chicago,
you don't need to at this point.
But this is true.
He thinks the blitz is coming.
He's worried about it before it's there. But it's just, and you can see the results in ARSB. They got to figure some shit out because some of it has to do with that offensive line. It's very injured interior. The tackles are okay. Of course, Taylor Decker played like shit Sunday, allowed 2 sacks. But Ragnow's hurt. No idea when he's coming back. And Graham Glasgow had to play center, and that left like 2 rookies. Jackson played. Jonah Jackson played, but they started the Oasika or whatever, how you pronounce his name, and he sucks. He can't play guard in the NFL.
Got a question
for comments. We're thinking of moving A-Chain out of the flex to Swift's RB spot. Start Ridley or Garrett Wilson over him if I bench Swift. I have not looked at the schedule much for next week yet.
Mm-hmm. Based on how he looked on Sunday, I'd say Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson's been getting targets.
Jets are at Miami next week. And Jacksonville's at home against Baltimore. I think I'd throw Garrett Wilson in there.
Yeah. He's going to see targets. Well, nice thing is a decision doesn't need to be made today.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know you've got a couple decent options. I mean, regardless, Swift is still getting a decent amount of volume. He's just not the higher end running back one that he was earlier in the year. Now he's a mid-ish running back too, but what the upside is.
Yeah.
Seattle's towards the bottom and points allowed to running backs, fantasy running backs. They're 27th, 28th. So maybe Swift gets out of it this week. Philadelphia's got to figure something out, but Captain says Goff is on artificial turf for the rest of the fantasy. Yeah. Yep. I don't think any games they're all domes the rest of the way.
Yeah, the away games are Dallas and Minnesota.
Yeah. So. Holy cow. Eric White in the house. Old childhood buddy of mine. Man, we've known each other. I've known him longer than I've known Matt, actually, Ramey.
Ooh.
Appreciate you stopping in here, Eric. Did your team make the playoffs? Dude? I can't remember. Did your team make the playoffs? I can't remember.
It doesn't really matter.
Nope.
I'm not in the playoffs, so no.
He finished 10th. Near the bottom with you guys.
If a tree falls in the forest and Matt's not there to see it,
right?
Did it really happen?
I got to see you soon, Eric. We got to hang out soon, man. Definitely soon. Captain Spock Wilson, 14 targets, 9 catches. As long as Zach Wilson is starting, he is good. That's a weird phrase. That's a weird phrase to read, right?
It is.
Say, type.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
Think.
Hey, he looked not terrible last week.
Yeah.
Which is about the best endorsement I can give him.
Texans.
DJ, back to Detroit. DJ Moore still thriving with Justin Fields as his quarterback.
He sure is.
Looked good. That one where he faked the lateral back to Fields and then took it to the house. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was nice. And then that one Detroit was offsides or something. They jumped. They got a free play and you just threw it over everybody to DJ Moore and he scored again.
Fields is
usually gonna... the defense is just so horrible for Detroit. They couldn't fucking even score either. It was really strange for Detroit.
Yeah. Fields is going to fuck around, end up making them have to sign him to an extension.
They're one game out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is insane. One thing that hasn't really been talked about a whole lot this year is just how good Cole Kmet has been.
Yeah.
5 for 66. He had 7 targets. This was his 8th time finishing as a tight end 1. He's a tight end 6 on the year. In August, in NFFC drafts, he was the 15th tight end off the board, going around pick 150.
Whew.
That's a damn good value if you got him.
Absolutely.
Cole Kmet and Kate Otten are tied for tight end 10 the last 5 weeks. So, man, you can get a top 10 tight end, you're good. It's usually
that's what goes to show you, right? Like, if you can wait on tight end, if you find the right guy.
Just got to get lucky.
All right. The key is to find the right guy.
Yeah.
This was another game, though, for Detroit. Monty and Gibbs averaged 6 yards a carry, yet they only had 21 combined carries. Go back to your bread and butter. You know, that's what this team was built around this year, the offensive line, and I understand that there are injuries and everything, but you still ran the ball effectively. Keep doing it until they stop it.
They were worried about time and kept tossing the ball.
Yeah, do you think it's the fact that Chicago got up to a 10-0 lead so quickly and then they just kind of abandoned the run game? Or because you guys did come back. You were leading in halftime.
That game reeked of panic.
Yep.
Yeah.
It did.
I'm done talking about that shit. What's the next game?
Well, do we have to?
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, buddy. As a matter of fact, we do.
Okay.
We Colts, had our
Bengal.
It's time to take mine.
Bengals. Everybody had the Bengals pretty much. Where the hell is my Colts Bengals notes? They're like not there they are. Everybody kind of had them written off when Burrow got hurt and was done for the year. And then Browning got, you know, a few games under his belt and he's looking real good. It's also been that Joe Mixon's been pretty awesome the last couple weeks as well. Mixon had the Chase 9th Brown. Highest rush share at 65% in week 14, most red zone rush attempts at 7. That's insane. 5 of his 7 red zone attempts came in goal to goal situations and he scored a touchdown. I mean, that's what you fucking need. He's had 79 rushing yards, 21 carries, another 46 through the air on just 3 catches. And then Chase Brown, the rookie. Holy shit. Where did he come from? Had one of the biggest plays of the day there when he took that pass 50 some yards to the house. Bengals. Worried about him?
I mean, not anymore. Now that we got beat by them, they don't worry me. But I mean, the Colts went down to Cincinnati and they laid a turd. They only scored one offensive touchdown. They did get the pick six, but that was kind of a fluky play. And I wouldn't even really put that on Browning. It was just a weird play. Jake Browning looks like he might be making himself some money next year, playing for another team. Like you said, Kyle, the Bengals were left for dead, and Browning has come in and kind of owned the AFC South over the last couple of weeks, beating Jacksonville on Monday night and then beating the Colts on Sunday. The Bengals defense really played well as well, and Garner Minshew is continuing to show that he is a really good backup quarterback that can play in short spurts. But as he continues to play, he gets exposed. He was 26 of 39, which we've talked about in the past. If Garner Minshew's throwing 40 times, the Colts are not going to win. That's not how they're built to win. He had a 6.2 average yard per completion. Zach Moss, I don't know if it's because he got benched for Jonathan Taylor or just kind of hit a wall, but he is not recapturing the magic he had the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season. 13 carries for 28 yards. Pittman had a Pittman game, 8 for 95, no touchdowns though. And it did look like they tried to get Josh Downs a little bit more involved than they had in weeks past, but he still only had 3 catches on 3 targets. So the Colts schedule so soft that I'd be naive to think that they're not going to win some more games. They've got Pittsburgh at home this Saturday, which I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's just a soft schedule. But in a muddled AFC, they're losing all the games to teams that will be there with them for tiebreakers. So while I'd love to see them get some playoff experience, it doesn't look promising even with that soft schedule. They're just not, it seems like they're trending in the wrong direction.
That makes sense. And going back to Moss, his first 4 starts, he avera 25 touches a game, 24, mm-hmm. 25 touches. Past couple weeks, he's getting like 16 or 17. And while that difference doesn't seem like a lot, it sure as shit can be. And we mentioned before that, you know, during the open that, you know, had he found the end zone there when he was close to the goal line, it's a completely different story. You know, at least you got the extra 6 to go with the, you know, the 56 total yards.
It got called back, didn't it? Wasn't it a holding?
I saw him get stuffed one play, and then I got tired of watching the Colts, so I turned that game off. But
I don't know. I might have dreamed that, but it seems like he scored and it got called back for a penalty.
Who's this, Moss?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I can't remember. He had 6 carries in the red zone, so maybe.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought he'd be a bounce back candidate this week because Cincinnati's run defense, it's kind of a juicy matchup. They're last in rush defensive success rate and second to last in yards before contact per attempt allowed. And he just 13 carries for 28
with 1 12 yard run in there. So he really had 12 for 16.
Right.
If you take that out. So it's just terrible.
And 6 of those carries I just mentioned, of those 13, were in the red zone, not in goal to go situations, but ugh.
Yeah.
Cincinnati played tough. And I think it's a lot of that, you know, the offense starts playing together. Now the team's feeling it and they're feeling it. And everybody just came to play there, Bengals wise.
Yeah. I think also the Bengals seeing that they have a viable shot with Jake Browning, has really energized that team as well. He's playing so well. He distributes the ball to everybody. Nobody on Cincinnati had more than 4 targets. Nobody on Cincinnati had more than 3 catches. Jamar Chase, we thought, was going to have a big game, but he only had 3 catches for 29 yards. Jake Browning didn't have to do a whole lot because the Colts played so poorly. But when he did, he doesn't care who he's throwing it to. He's going to throw to the open guy.
Yeah. I know earlier this year we were kind of happy Josh Downs was a thing, and that time has definitely come to an end.
Yeah.
His 5th straight game under 50 yards, under 10 fantasy points. He had 13 plus points in 5 of the prior 6 games. So, I mean, he had a nice little run there. He's just not getting the targets. He's under a 15% target share for the last 5 weeks, and all those targets are going to Pittman, and he's doing damn good work with him. You know, it's not like Pittman's getting, you know, three grabs off of 10 targets, at, you know, 10, 11 targets. He's hauling in eight or nine of them. And that's really what they need from him to stay competitive. It's not even a goddamn word. Competitive. You know, he's a top five wide receiver since their bye, averaging 22.6 points a game. He was somebody you got, you know, he was a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick somewhere in there at draft season. And he's giving you a damn nice return, especially across the back half of the year.
I got, yeah, Downs is 90th since week five, or since in the last 5 weeks, since week nine, I should say, in wide receiver. And Pittman's 19th. Damn good player. Solid. He's like always there for you. You can really compare him to Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, a lot. Similar usage. I think both are in the 80. I think both are at like 80 receptions.
Maybe I think St. Brown's 90s. A little bit more explosive. Pittman's more of a possession guy. What do you think?
I mean, ARSB isn't super explosive.
Yeah.
You know who is explosive? J-Mo, and he got one damn touch. Sorry. I know we're past that game, but just. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It was bad. Let's see. Browning, what? He had a pick. Did he have a pick? He did have a pick.
Pick six. Yeah. Well, again, it wasn't really his fault. It
was right.
It was kind of a bumbled catch, and then the Colts defensive player took it away from him.
Dubo says the purple defense next week will humble former Vikings Jake Browning. See, man. Let's see. I see they made a. Humble. I see a Kevin O'Connell made a change. They're going with Mullins this week.
He put up three more points than Josh Dobbs did.
Yeah, no shit. How'd Josh Dobbs do for you, Matt?
You know, I was talking to Brandon. And I get a text last night. It's like, I sat Stafford for Dobbs. It's your advice.
Wow.
I was like, I sat Goff. I sat Goff and I saw he got 8 points. I was like, shit, I'm good. Wrong. Jared Goff, he scored 8 points on my bench, and that was the wrong decision.
Captain says, your word from before there when you were trying to say competitive. When your pecker is compact. I like it. Go with that. Matt's a very competitive guy, for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Really packs a punch, though.
It's a grower, not a
similar show, in shape to this.
Right. Yeah. It showed there, dude. Yeah.
It's the girth.
Ramey, any more Colts?
No, not really. I'm good. Let me run down their schedule real quick and just. They go Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Vegas, Houston. Maybe they go 2-2 and they've got 9 wins. I think they're going to be end up being on the outside looking in for the playoffs. As much as I'd like to be the optimistic Colts fan and say that they're going to go 3-1 and get 10 wins and be in, that not only are they're going to lose against Pittsburgh at home because Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh, and I don't know. They're kind of beat up too, but they're losing all the games to the teams they're going to have tiebreakers over. So I'm not encouraged.
See, you can just sit back and enjoy the playoffs.
Yeah.
No tension, no anxiety.
Right. Oh, let's see.
So gamble.
There you go.
Yeah, you can do that. We had an overtime game, Rams at Ravens, which pissed you off that how tough the Rams played the Ravens in Baltimore, and the Lions could. I know we're not talking about the Lions anymore, but just and the Raven, if we would have seen the Ravens with this offense on Sunday against the Lions, it'd have been a different story because they were completely out of sync the whole fucking, I think pretty much the whole fucking game. Those first couple touchdowns
till the fourth quarter
were blown coverages. They had only 2 red zone drives, converting only once. Conversely, the Rams had 4 red zone four red zone drives, converting touchdowns on 3 of those, kept them in the game. What was that guy's name? Tylan Wallace was the guy that sealed the deal in overtime with the 76-yard punt return. He was the backup punt returner, too.
Tylan Wallace, because Devin Duvernay got hurt.
Yeah. Puka Nacua looked good. Caught 5 for 84. He did have a pretty bad drop there when I was watching replays.
And by God, that's Cooper Kupp's music.
Yeah.
He's back. Shit. Back from the dead.
Yeah. What did he end up having?
8 for 115 and a touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 targets, looking good again. On the other side of the field, Zay Flowers was working more downfield than I've seen all season. Had 10 targets, caught whatever, 6 of them for 60 and a touch. He looked pretty good as well.
And that throw that Lamar had in the fourth quarter to Zay for the touchdown was a dart. Like, it was a fantastic throw. Like, and then the 2-point conversion as well was a hell of a play. If Lamar can figure out the passing, the Ravens are going to be dangerous not only this year, but in the future.
Oh, for sure.
They're in the driver's seat for the number one seed right now.
And you got to give credit to McVay and Todd Monken. Both of them called amazing games. It seemed like they were throwing to wide open receivers all day. And I know we were on Sunday morning and we were concerned about the weather. Did not expect this. Not even a little. Lamar matched his career high in attempts with 43. Jeez. In a damn driving rainstorm. I mean, he looked damn good. Talking about Zay Flowers, dude's always on the field. Mm-hmm. Always out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I wonder, do you think the weather helped the offenses in this case? Like, because both defenses didn't play well at all. And I wonder if the fact that they were trying to, you know, they react to where the receivers are going. I wonder if the footing was an issue for the defensive backs and not so much the receivers. I'm just trying to find the reason.
It's possible. And I saw some pretty sloppy play out there.
Yeah.
There was definitely
a lot of missed tackles. Some blown cover. I mean, Isaiah Likely was standing by himself doing jumping jacks, trying to get Lamar Jackson's attention.
Right.
And of course I dropped him Sunday in favor of Juwan Johnson and
So you tinker.
Didn't we say Gerald Everett over Isaiah Likely on Sunday?
Yeah.
We were all on that bus.
Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson fucking came out of nowhere and didn't get a lot. He had a touchdown, 3 catches, but he had 10 targets.
Stafford was really looking at him towards the end of the game.
Yeah, he was. Kyren Williams looked great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
25 carries, 114 yards. When he's been healthy, he's been an absolute stud. See, great minds think alike there, Captain Spock. Kyren Williams whipping it up. Got his bye in a 12-team league with Williams and Achan and double flat. You're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
You're sitting damn pretty. Kyren Williams has been an RB1 in 7 of the 9 games he's played this season.
Yep.
So he's been incredibly consistent, too.
Yep. Got their running back for the next couple of seasons there in L.A.
He's a little bit smaller, too. He's not the biggest dude. But he runs damn powerful.
Yes, he assigned Deontay Foreman or something in the offseason and go with those two. Good work. I don't know.
Yeah. They traded Cam Akers because they were tired of him. We kind of texted about this, or actually we talked about it on Sunday night. I know that Sean McVay's won a Super Bowl, so that's his best coaching job, but you could make an argument. This is right up there. Nobody thought that the Rams were going to be in this kind of position to be threatening for the playoffs with who they traded away and where they were with Stafford and the question marks. I mean, hell, they were talking maybe Stafford was going to retire because all the guys that won the Super Bowl and he didn't want to play with were gone, and all the young guys he didn't want to play with. But between him and McVay, they've done a really nice job, and they're set up well for the future with cap space and picks.
Well, they went the longest time without having any picks.
It's true.
They got their ring, though. Flags fly forever.
That's right.
The only thing that got picked was their coaches every fucking year. They're the 8th seed. They got a couple important tiebreakers over Seattle and Atlanta. So, could do it. See what happens with the rest of the NFC North with Minnesota and Green Bay, how they end up finishing.
Yeah. I like how wide open everything feels this year.
Both conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-7, fourth seed, going to win the division again, fucking with a losing record 2 years in a row. Wasn't it last year they were 8-9?
Yep, it sure was.
Ridiculous.
Making an argument for relegation. That's in the NFL.
That's a hell of a franchise there. Back-to-back division champions.
Yep. I guess. More than the Lions can say.
See? Exactly. All right.
Last game we got here. Jags at Browns. Crazy.
That wasn't crazy.
Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is back.
Yes, he is.
Named the start of the rest of the season by head coach Kevin Stefanski. He had 25 fantasy points. He was 26 of 45, 311, three touchdowns, a pick. Only got sacked once. He's 38 years old. Are you kidding me?
QB2 the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And Joko's come back to life with Flacco there. He's found him twice. Wide open, I think, both times, at least once. He hit that one long, it was like a 40-yarder to David Bell in the fourth. That was a nice pass. Joe Flacco looks good.
Yeah, he does. That was the first time he went for 303 since week two of last season when he was with the Jets against the Cleveland Browns.
Of course.
No, but you're right about Njoku. 6 for 91, two touchdowns, which is half of his season total. he is the tight end four since week seven. He's averaging 13.5 points per game, and he's got only one game below 10 points in that stretch. And I remember before the season, we were talking about those tight ends in that range being drafted, anywhere from 9 to 15. And he was the one I liked because he was the only one I could envision with some decent upside. It's taken a little while to realize it.
Well, they had to find a quarterback.
Four quarterbacks later.
Yeah.
Off the street.
If Flacco's on the wire, I would pick him up.
He is on the wire.
I have a waiver claim in for him.
And it makes you wonder why the Jets didn't give him a call.
Yeah,
or maybe they did.
Or maybe they did. And he said, I'm good.
Right. I'm behind that offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't blame him. But yeah, only one sack. He played well. They all played well. Cooper had 77 yards on seven receptions. And then Trevor Lawrence he didn't look so great.
No, he can't, but
yeah, he did have a couple scrambles there. I was like, he's moving pretty good for a guy with a high ankle sprain. And I saw a bunch of, three or four overthrown passes, sailed passes. And you do usually see that, in quarterbacks with high ankle sprains. We'll see if it continues to affect him. Yeah.
You know who he didn't overthrow? Evan Ingram. 11 catches on 12 targets for 95 yards and two touchdowns. Kyle is being vindicated.
That's the only, yeah, exactly. He's one of the main reasons I won my two matchups in my keeper league this week.
He had a fantastic game.
If you would have told me before the game started that there was going to be 95 combined pass attempts, I'd have told you were full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. I mean, ETN. Trevor Lawrence threw the damn ball 50 times. That was his fourth game with three or more interceptions in his career. Okay. And the three previous were in his rookie year. But he's a QB1 the last 4 weeks.
On my bench.
On your bench. That's where he
But I benched him for Jake Browning, so I don't feel too bad.
Yeah, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
ETN continued to prove just how touchdown dependent he is. He found the end zone. He give you a nice day. He's got back-to-back weeks over 17 points, but the last 4 weeks, he's only the running back 16. His 35 yards was a season low. He's only got one 100-yard game. He's only got four games with over 75 yards, and yet he's the running back 3 on the season. So go figure.
Yeah.
I think that says more about the state of running back than it does about him.
Well, he got four catches for 37 yards too, so that helps kind of buoy that. And he got a bunch of touchdowns at the beginning of the year. But you're absolutely right. He's so touchdown dependent and he's fading. It makes it really hard. I mean, if you've got him, you're going to have to play him, but you're praying and hoping for a touchdown, because if not, he's got 14 carries for 35 yards.
Yep. Yeah. That ain't going to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So best thing that happened to the Jags was that everybody else in the AFC South lost, except for the Titans last night, but they're so far out of it that it doesn't really matter. So Colts and the Texans both lost. So Jacksonville's still in first place, but it's like Baltimore's really separating themselves. Is that one seed going to get that bye? And then it's kind of like you said, Matt, it's really, really muddled as far as not just the AFC, the NFC too, but the AFC's got so many teams that are 7-6. Yeah. It seems like the NFC is on the flip side. They've got so many teams that are 6-7.
Yeah, I was just thinking too, like, I know we talked about the Bills Super Bowl bet. Cleveland might not be a bad one either.
Yeah.
Flacco's got some good experience. He's won a ring. He can get hot. That defense is going to play anywhere.
That's true.
Think if the Browns win the Super Bowl, somebody's going to sign Joe Flacco to $100 million contract like the Ravens did 15 years ago or whatever the hell. Probably it was. Not.
He'd be smart to defer most of that till 10 years later.
He would. Right. Yeah. Help the team.
A lot of that going on these days.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
We're deferring
our
salary.
We're deferring.
For tax purposes. Deferring.
Let's get into waiver wires because, geez, I didn't even realize what time it was. Holy Jesus. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. All right. Rico Dowdle. Talked about him earlier. He's somebody who's going to be really, really low owned. He's being worked into the offense more. And, you know, if you're in a deeper league, a 14-team league, something like that, you know, there ain't shit out there on the wire. I mean, even in a lot of 12-team leagues, there ain't shit out there. He's somebody you can stash. You're not necessarily hoping for an injury, but, you know, you want to see his role expand a little bit more. Maybe end up with a decent flex play.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I'll piggyback on that. I'll go Chase Brown. Especially if you're a Joe Mixon owner, he's not threatening Mixon by any means for the starting role, but he's had a nice couple of weeks. He had 11 touches last week and 105 total yards and a touchdown. He had that long touchdown. If you're running into the playoffs with Mixon and you want to handcuff yourself, he'd be worth a pickup to stash away. And I mean, keep an eye on him. If he continues to be featured in this offense with Browning, he might be worth a flex play down the road.
Could it's be. Possible. Get some passing down work. He's shown some explosiveness.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford, still only rostered in 33% of leagues on ESPN. 3 touchdowns against the Ravens. That's 3 games in a row with 3-plus touchdowns. What's he got? 10 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Leads the league. 800 yards over that span, ranking 6th, and they play the Commanders at home. Commanders allow the 2nd most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. Going to be a lot of throwing. Could be a sneaky shootout too, with him and Howell. I guess Flacco and Wilson and Browning kind of, you know, posted some big games this week. But for week 15, I think he's got the higher floor compared to others in that group.
He's projected for 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns.
It's a hell of a week.
He's having a good year.
Yep. Yep.
It is a nice, really nice week. He'd probably win your league.
I kind of like Mayfield too as a sleeper this week for waivers, 48% rostered. Had a couple touchdowns against the Falcons, who are pretty tough against quarterbacks. Got the Jaguars. It's a must-win game for both of them. I think the Bucs probably could be playing from behind, going to need to throw a lot. Could be a top option.
A top option.
A top option. Has anybody heard about Josh Jacobs? I haven't seen anything yet about him because he suffered a knee injury in the 4th quarter.
I've not heard.
I haven't seen nothing. So Zamir White could take a flyer on him.
you get a massive workload if Jacobs is out, in theory.
He would.
Yeah.
You play the Chargers on Thursday, and they suck. Defensively suck. Just horrible. I mean, you could see him 15, 20 snaps that game. I think he's one of the top waiver options if Jacobs is out. The Raiders also play the Colts. Play the Colts during the fantasy championship round as well. So if Jacobs is out for a while this season,
could be somebody worth picking up.
Somebody to stash. Yep.
Just to keep it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Might be worth stashing just in case, and kind of keep an eye on Jacobs, make sure he doesn't. Even if he ends up playing, if it continues to linger, he might be worth having on your bench.
Yeah, and that's what you're going to find a lot this time of year. It's stash guys, stash and hope.
Yep, some running back depth is always good in the playoffs.
It is, and even if it's not somebody that you end up using, it's still somebody your opponent can't use.
Yep.
My other one I got here is Noah Brown. We've talked about him a bit. 42% owned on ESPN. Nico Collins exited the game the other day with a calf injury. Brown was out there quite a bit with, you know, Robert Woods and somebody named Hutchinson. I don't even know who that is. Mechie was out there a bit in some different personnels, but Texans got the Titans next week. 6 most points allowed to fantasy wide receivers this season, fantasy points to wide receivers. So he's been shut out the past couple weeks, but with everybody hurt. But then it depends on, is Stroud going to play?
Yeah.
What do you got? Davis Mills there, I think.
That's it. Davis Mills.
Yep. So who has?
I mean, he's
flashes of brilliance last year. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I got, fellas. I think, I mean, I got CEH on there, but I don't even want to talk about him.
Yeah. I don't think Pacheco is. I mean, I would be surprised if he missed this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had McKinnon just because it seems like they use CEH from the, in between the 20s. And then when they get down to the goal line, it's McKinnon if Pacheco's out. So I think there's a little bit more value with McKinnon if Pacheco continues to be out, just because he seems to be trusted more around the goal line.
Yeah. I like McKinnon better in PPR for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The majority of snaps and carries on early downs. Yeah. They went to CEH, and I grabbed McKinnon in the league, started him, won. So, well, I'm not even in the playoffs in that one. I just grabbed him because somebody that was one of the top teams in there, Wade, had Pacheco, and he didn't grab anybody. So I grabbed McKinnon just so basically he could.
Nice.
They always want to try and play spoiler if you're not in it.
Hell yeah. But I'm miserable. How can I ruin someone else's day?
Reed spiked McKinnon's usage at the end of the last season. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
I think he had like 9 touchdowns in the last 6 games last year.
That's ridiculous. About right.
Sounds about right.
You have anything else, Matt?
No, I do not.
I'll throw one out there just because Madison got hurt. Ty Chandler.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's only rostered in 22% of leagues. So, especially if you've got Madison, even though I'm out of the playoffs, might be worth picking up just in case. That explosive Vikings offense.
3 whole points. Imagine giving up 3 points and losing.
Suck.
Yeah, it would.
Kyle's deep in thought.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Having internet issues here. It's great.
There he is.
Yeah,
welcome back. He is.
Hold on. I got
it. Old 8-bit Kyle.
Yeah, I'm like I'm gone again. This is awesome.
The third Mario brother.
Okay, we can just go through this really fast. You guys aren't in it.
I'm on a streak. Shut up.
Lost I'm 7 streaking. In a row.
Finishing. I've got the longest streak in the league right now.
Hell yeah!
So I'm in the playoffs. I'm representing. I have to represent you guys because you guys fucking suck so bad.
No, thank you.
One of the 5-9-5 teams to make it. Drew won the regular season title.
Congrats, Drew.
At 10-4. So nice congrats work to the melting snowman. Our weekly DFS matchup this week. Ramey, back on the board again. I've lost, I don't even know how many in a row now. 8 or some shit. It's ugly.
How many appetizers will they let you get at Ale Emporium?
Yeah. I'm prepared just to toss my credit card down on the fucking table and eat and drink.
I'd like the chef sampler menu, please.
Yeah. <Right. laughs> Could I get the off menu with all the
take
other
that private shit? Room and the catering, please?
There we go.
Yeah. But congratulations on taking our money. Thanks. This past weekend. Our aces and deuces locks, our review of that. All of us went 3-2.
Nice. I'm right on your ass, homie.
Right there, man. So we'll see who finishes this. We didn't really bet anything for this one, to my knowledge. So I guess it's just honor. Just some bragging rights.
Yeah.
While we got a second here, I found something on PFF. So the strength of schedule for teams there, 15-18. So you got the, what am I trying to say, Matt? The lateral access there is
X axis.
Thank you. The X axis is the defensive strength of opponents, and the
Y axis,
the up and down one. So math's not my, I didn't do well in math at all, but I thought this was kind of interesting. You can see your Colts, Ramey, are facing bad offenses and bad defenses. You mentioned earlier really in the podcast, schedule. That's pretty good schedule. And then you have our Lions on the opposite fucking spectrum there, facing good offenses and good defenses. So,
it's not good.
Kind of a bummer.
Well, they'll get to prove their mettle.
Look at the Eagles down there, almost off the chart.
Yep. Yeah, that's a set. Yeah, yeah.
That's what happens.
Playing Seattle, who's also in the same quadrant as them.
And you play the Vikings two out of the last, not the Vikings, the Giants, the last two out of the 3 weeks of the season. So that's helpful. Although Tommy DeVito.
That's it. Tommy Cutlets.
Yep. He's going to trademark that if he hasn't already. But
I hope he's enjoying a ride.
Yep.
Hell yeah. He's going to make a living off of that for the rest of his life. Or at least get some free drinks.
Yep. Start selling insurance in New York.
Kyle, do you have any fun fantasy football stories you want to talk about?
I got one actually today. I had a customer. We'll see.
What a smooth setup.
Let's see what the viewers think about this one. Customer of mine comes in today. We talk about fantasy football pretty frequently when he stops in. And he's in a 12-team league, and it's always been 8 teams make the playoffs. I'm not sure why. They must do multiple buys or whatever. But wakes up this morning, a text or a league chat, and the commissioner has decided to cut the team down to, or the playoffs down to 6 teams right here at the middle of the, in the middle of the season or the end of the season. And, you know, I was just like, I said, surely that's punishable by death. You don't fucking do that. You don't change rules mid-season, end of season, whatever. I would never talk to that person again, see that person again, do anything with them ever again. Do not fuck around in fantasy football. Do not fuck with people's money.
Right. Plot twist. It was his wife, the commissioner.
Right. But
Take him to Judge Judy.
Yeah. I he was pretty broke. And I think I was more pissed off for him. Cause that's just, don't do that. So that's burned an idea for next season. We're going to do a video on proper commissioner etiquette to have a competitive league and make it pretty drama free. Yeah. Don't do stupid shit. And the commissioner was like the top team. He was going to get a bye. I'm like, how do you do that? You need integrity in these leagues. Some bullshit. Yeah, if somebody did that in a league I was in, I'd be going ape shit, foaming at the mouth, ape shit.
Rabid. Yeah, that is bullshit. I agree. I've told you guys, and I think I've even mentioned it on here, I had a work league a few years ago that went the other way. They expanded the playoffs halfway through the season.
Captain says, commissioner spunk bubble.
Yeah, sounds like that Kyle commissioner sweatshirt. Sounds like that.
How is that not a vote? Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. I don't know why that would be a vote you'd even hold, except for in the offseason when you're going to make some changes. But you would think, I was like, isn't the rest of the league like kind of speaking up? But He had to go really fast. He was late for an appointment, so I couldn't get too much more information out of him, but I was just shocked that somebody would do that.
I would say that the commissioner's decision is very competitive.
Yes.
Agreed. So. That is the most competitive thing a commissioner can do.
Shit.
Cool. It's
probably a good place.
Good, fellas.
Wrap her up.
That's it.
Wrap around. Right. Yeah. Somebody take us out.
All right. I will. Okay. We'll see you back here on Thursday night at 7 o'clock to preview week 15. And as always, be here on Sunday morning at 11:30 for Tinker Time. Appreciate everybody stopping in with the comments and listening, and we will see you on Thursday night. Don't forget to visit our website, www.stonedonesportspodcast.com. Everyone have a great evening.
Good luck to you, Captain Spock and Dubo. Get them dubs. Yes.
See you Thursday, guys.